Welcome to the cinematic world of movies.
Any questions?
And there's no better way to start a Sunday evening like this. Okay, the Sunday evening has started. It's just that we are following up and we are following through with the evening of the Sunday. So yes, you're welcome. And this is live, the movies. Yes, we have been here since. We have just been waiting for you to join us so that it's not be as if you carry last inside today. But my name, as you know, the man with no name, I'm here.
And my name is Focus the Batman. Thank you for joining us this sweet Sunday evening as we bring you your cinematic world of movies and TV alike. And if you've been following us on social media, you would know we have a special guest. Yeah, we had him 8 months ago, and now we're having him again. How awesome is that? And he didn't even come alone this time. He came with...
He came with small backup card. Yes. And he did not just come with a small backup card. He also came with something in hand for the gang. So he is presenting us with a live copy of Before You Say Action. And it's an indie filmmaker's handbook. And you don't get it better than when you have an award-winning movie producer and exec putting, or should we say, penning down his experience in what happens to be... Here they say persuade they read book, you know they lost quick, huh?
And persuade they ask question.
And I know they lost, but who the call ask question? Call put all the answer for book. Now deal with problem, Kondi. Hey, which way is guys? We have Chris O'Day in the building.
Thank you for having me, guys. So it's fabulous. Always interesting.
Yeah,
to be here.
It's always fun having
Batman. Who be who?
He's Batman. I'm the man we know him. Yeah. Talking about dreams, did you ever dream you'll be writing a book?
Never.
So what happened?
That means there's hope for me, because I'm still saying, I know me, first of all, I don't like reading books if they are not small books and books with picture. This is my kind of book. If you don't have, even if it's small picture, it's very difficult for me.
Yeah, small picture,
so, and right now I have hope. Since Mr. Chris said he never thought about writing a book, and he has, see, show them on Instagram. No, let them see this book.
It's called
Before You Say Action.
So like I asked, yeah, you never had a dream of writing, but what inspired this right now?
So yeah, you know, the thing about this whole thing is to start, we want to make impact first. You know, we start as a filmmaker, telling stories, then you realize that, I'm experiencing some things that some people are not privy to. You know, I think I started, you know how we were early days. Now we went through a lot, but later on, God smiled on us. We started getting films to the work. People, they picked the film. So I thought, I think I need to teach people a few things I've experienced in my journey. So I started talking, doing master classes and symposiums. And later I realized I would burn myself out jumping from Plateau to Jos to Lagos to, you know, so why don't we capture all of these things in a document that can travel to where you can travel to.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, because that was the first thought. I think it came up like 2019. I was in this project then. And then I started working towards it. Then COVID, and I know we're talking about COVID.
Yeah.
Everybody had inspiration. So when I go for my walks, I'll come back, then I would do like my voice recording, send to my ghostwriter, she'll write, send to me, I'll do the editing. It took us three to four years. And so the aim
is
to write this book, because it was like going to be like a memoir, but that's not what we wanted. We wanted the experience to become principles, so that people, when they're reading it, while they hear my voice, they don't just read my story, but they're reading their own story too in my story. So if you're a young filmmaker and you're making films in Nigeria, if you read this book, you feel like we saw your life while we wrote the book. That's what we wanted. So it took a lot of years, and also people reading to be sure that it's not politically correct or incorrect in any way, because I'm not writing this book to create any drama. I just want people to learn from my experience. The films that worked, the films that failed, why they worked, why they failed, why they are not working. So that's what we did. So it's more like a textbook, pretty much. But it's a textbook about a guy who has gone on the journey and is back and is telling you, see us at Edouan.
So if we're going by this now, it's not going to be like the one that what's the name of this Ghanaian actress we go write book, put inside.
Yvonne Nelson.
No. So no producer is also going to come and say, Chris, you write my name here.
The only thing I can see with some comments, I mean, I'm not going through the book, but I can see popular comments from Ramsey Noah, Charles Opaleke, and a lot of other people here. So yeah. I mean, it's it's something to check out. I can see the last page. There's something fantastic about this book. I mean, the front page says, before you say action. And guess what the last page says? Now you can see action. it is brilliantly
done. You see the cartoon. You see the guy. Chaos
now,
unorganized.
You need to check it out.
Okay, so in writing, yeah, because I always used to have this thought when I meet writers. Now I can call you a writer.
Cliche, author, husband, and father.
So I've always had this need to ask the question when writing, like. When you wrote this book and when it came out, now that it has been published, you've released it, now it's out there.
Yeah.
Did you feel that there are some things that are still missing?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I traveled yesterday and I was trying to read it in the plane. My brother, I closed it. I just felt like, I've been writing this other past for a year. You know
this kind of thing that happens when you finish having an argument and then you go and be like,
Exactly. But every creative expression has that thing, you know, because creativity is like living life. Every extra moment is an extra spice, extra flavor. So, but the thing is that when I wrote this book, this is what this book should say. Whatever I want to add now, I can put it in maybe when I go for book tours or interviews or even a subsequent book. Someone's asking me to do something else. It's a volume 2. And I'm like,
first,
I like the fact that it's a conversation. And so, yes, but again, from where I'm seated, there are things I wish I put here, but the person reading it, have they learned everything that is here already? Do you get what I'm saying? So what is here for an indie filmmaker is enough for them. When you learn this one, you can now go online or go to real life and continue learning and going. So this book is also inspire you.
I'm very particular about part of the heading in this,
which is
the indie filmmaker. Why the specification for indie filmmaking?
First of all, let me crack a joke. Someone thought that indie means, no, in Igbo.
Igbo, eh?
Indie filmmaker. I'm like, no, it's independent filmmaking. So, yeah, so the book is, I think there's a video I made recently to promote the podcast that became kind of popular where I said, get a converter. And people go to film school and they learn how to make films like Spike Lee or like all these people, Peter Jackson and all of those people, George Lucas. And they come back to Nigeria and my brother, it's not the same.
Yeah, they wonder why it's not working.
There's no Agbero in America. There's, it's not the same system. And they feel confused. We don't have depression challenges because what you have in your book is not what you have in reality.
Yeah.
So I say to all of them, what it is you need to find something that can help you step down. It's like when you buy an appliance in America. It's 110 volts. You bring it here, it's 220. You have to get that thing to transformer to step down the current, kind of thing. So what I'm saying is this book is supposed to help people step down that thing they've learned from there.
So basically have like a practical application.
Exactly.
Understanding the system that you are in.
So what you've learned is not bad, but it's not applicable directly. So you need to look for the realities. How do you negotiate here? How do you even value yourself to be able to give your own costs? Because people don't know how to even charge. But I tell you now, as an actor, how much you say, how much you get? 20K, give me. But as an actor, what kind of actor are you? You can't be a method actor and be collecting 20K per day. Because your method acting is not per day. It's a lifestyle. You have to, I heard about Danny Day-Lewis, how he had to sit on the wheelchair for how many months because he wanted to be in, that's real. You can't pay that guy per day now. All the days he was preparing for the shooting. So you have to pay him for that period. I had an actor who acted for me, I paid him per day and he had to smoke in the character. And after 2-3 months, I met him and his wife at the cinema. The wife hit me and said, "You man, I made my husband start smoking."
Yeah,
he couldn't stop smoking.
Okay, let me just take a quick second. Remember the short film we did, once called From Dark?
Yeah, From Dark.
That we had to smoke.
Oh my God.
We had to smoke over how many packs of cigarettes?
To
the point that my mouth was so dry that it was cracking.
Wow. MOG, that's Felix Okubo, his tongue actually split because of the cigarette. Later, we had to stop. Then we now had to bring in dry leaves to make the place smoky. Police came and stopped the shoot thinking that
it was real weed.
So we had to show them
it was crazy because
imagine that they want to pay you per day, say 20K per day. That's an insult
for that one,
What I'm saying is, so this is supposed to help you to do all of that, to be able to now recalibrate and now find a way to use what you've learned to apply it to where you are. Which has always been the trouble. People have learned how to make films in Nigeria, but Nigerian industry is not American industry or French industry or English industry. So there are peculiarities that this book and things that we're doing can help you repackage yourself for.
Okay. So, still judging based on the title of the book, I want to ask...
Sorry. So when I said indie, it's for people who don't have access to the funds.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you see, the way you are like this, if you think of a thought in America, you can walk into the bank or you can walk into a studio and get some funding.
Yeah.
My brother, nobody could give money for Nigeria. You get my point? Nobody's going to... They'll ask you, what have you done?
Yeah, they always
so the question is, and they won't look at a short film and say, no, what does he hear someone did a short film? They say, oh, nice, see Dev Patel shooting film now. How many actors can? You have to go back to YouTube. I don't want to call them. They're big actors we've known for 20 years now. They're going to YouTube to make films because they want to make ends. Some people are fortunate to have found people who supported them and helped them grow their film. But so this book is saying, if you're an indie filmmaker and you don't have access to those funding, those grants, how do you start from small? How do you, you know how we started Bluetooth? We started from maybe 2 million, 3 million naira film. I'll pay you tomorrow, do small. You know, and now we're able to do films like pseudo studio work because we were able to grow our market. So this film teaches you as an independent guy how to start from small and grow big.
Okay, because I've been seeing the promotional for the book, and personally, I actually thought it was a podcast you had started. And I was telling you congratulations already.
Yeah, I remember.
So one of the questions that Yaro
So the podcast was to sell the book.
The book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so basically, it has snippets of what the book is saying. Yaro is saying, are there digital copies online?
Not yet. So we're going, right now we have only hard copies because we're trying not to devalue the content of the book. So we want to spend 6 months, I'm sorry, 8 months selling only hardcover copies. And from January, we'll now have e-copies, audiobooks, and soft cover copies.
Oh, okay.
So, but this is just to make sure that because we're going for book tours, want to make it look fine, glam, want to show people
it's
that...
It's a process, basically.
Yes, so we're doing this 8 months for people that can't wait to grab the main copy, the premium copy, grab this one. Then from January, we can now have audiobooks, e-versions, and other translations, French, Arabic, Portuguese, and also soft cover, like this one is soft cover.
Oh.
So this one will come later on.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So one of the purposes of our show is to enlighten people because sometimes they don't understand some of the wordings or all the language of movies and everything. So for this title, you know, it says Before You Say Action. Who is this book for? You know, some people now say, he's saying action now. I'm not a director that will be now be shouting action. I'm an actor or I'm a scriptwriter. So, like, who is this book for?
As you just mentioned, that one person that is in costume, be like, this one, no costume. Okay.
So, strangely,
I know they call action.
The book was written for producers, but when we're still doing the early stage of test running it and showing people to read, people are saying, this is not for producers, this is for me, this is for an actor, this is for. So, I have more actors and directors buying this book than even producers, to be honest. And I would say that this book is for three people. One, a young creative that wants to start their journey as a musician, an actor, as whatever, any creative expression. It just shows you that start from where you are. You can grow to the biggest you want to be. First, to inspire, so it's inspirational. Second, it's very educational for people who are already in this terrain but are afraid of making some mistakes. This book shows a lot of my mistakes. In fact, there's a chapter here, Bluetooth, you know this film called 1230.
Yes.
Chapter 8 is 1230. So I sat down on that film, the film I made that failed. My first film failed and I'm not afraid.
There was even a helicopter in that
My film. Brother, everything, that's the helicopter day. Let me not start getting moody. So I poured out my shame and my pain and my regrets in that chapter for people to learn, to understand that, yes, you see, hear about Chris, I say, who be this Chris, they do good film, but understand that I've done bad films. I have films I'm not proud of I've done. And I've grown from there. So people can also learn from my mistakes so they don't repeat those mistakes. That's second. And throughout these film enthusiasts, some people that just love film, they want to invest, they want to be makeup artists, they want to be actors, they want to be part of this whole thing that we're doing, but they don't understand the terrain. This book also helps you define the terrain so you know where you're going to, so you can know how to navigate when you come. Because some people want to invest money, but they don't know. So if I put money now, am I putting money in camera or in actor? Where am I? This film explains all of that. So it helps the enthusiast to understand the terrain. It helps the young filmmaker to grow and learn from my mistakes, and it also inspires creatives to go ahead and do their best.
Okay, because someone is asking now for those who are, it says for the dyslexic, he says it's fantastic if there's an audiobook, and that's what
there will
say.
Be an audiobook from January. We're
okay, so
with
from
an actress,
January,
so
okay.
She's already excited. I told her last week she's excited to do. I don't want to announce who the person is. With an actress, she's going to put her voice to it, because my voice is terrible. Wow. I want someone that will go the sweetest if you listen to that now.
So you mean you don't want to add your voice so you shout can shoot two things?
The volume reaction is here now.
I don't want that. What do you say? With good music on the background, so okay. It should come out in January.
I think it's quite impressive all you're saying about the book, and it's not that massive. You get as you said, there is a lot of things you can learn from this book based on your experience. But yeah, the book is just so small and beautiful. That means maybe everything. It mustn't be like, where is that our Webster's dictionary?
No, that one.
You'll not be like this. Let's say God. When am I read this one? I think it's not even up to 200 pages.
It's 156. Yes. Wow.
Okay. So you wrote foreword by Steve Gukas.
My mentor. Yeah.
So, what role did he play in the writing of this book?
So I'm very big on respect. I'm very big on. I believe that. Creative people understand authority and hierarchy, you know, and one thing that man has helped me to do in my life is to help me channel my... I've always been a very energetic child. I've always had that, I want to do everything, I want to. So when I met him in 2017, I think, he was able, because he's very experienced, if you know him, he's a very calm, experienced guy, you know, the rush. So he had to help me grow. So I saw what he did for me. And so when I did the book, I sent the book, I said, read this book and tell me what you think about the book. And he sent me his notes. I was like, this is a forward for a book. This is a forward for a book. I said, can you forward this book? And he said, why not? So he sent me a more edited and better one, and that's how we got here. But the reason I put his name there, because I believe that people should know that I didn't learn everything I learned on my own. You know, the people that have been fantastic, people like Sebari Detespif, Mo Abudu, Oliver Leogena, Charles of Play, Ramsey Noor, Steve Gukas, Roger Sofime. There are a lot of them that have taught me most things I know today, even though you can't say I'm like any of them, but I've picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to become this person. So I'll be very selfish, self-centered, and stupid to not connect my growth to these people. So Steve was like one of them to represent how far I've come.
Fun story, in one of the messages I just received here all the way from Osh, he said, fun fact, I was an actor on the set of 12:30. I was also part of the crew. Interestingly, that was where I first met Mr. Chris for the first time. And he's right about the helicopter.
My brother, helicopter, my brother put no record for that helicopter. What is Osh doing?
He's doing fine. He's fantastic.
Guy,
okay,
guy.
And someone here is asking, what's the name of your show on radio? I just saw it on Chris's Life. Well, it's called
Popcorn and Reels.
We are also live on Instagram. We are live on social media. You can watch this episode also, because we'll be posting this video clip on YouTube. At least between Monday to Wednesday. Great. You should definitely be seeing the live episode.
Better, because I want to go and look for salad meat.
When the moon they come out?
No. So Tuesday and Wednesday is public holiday. So within that time, the hustle for meat will start. So. Let's jump back to your experience because one of the things now is someone who is listening to this show for the first time will be, so why is it that we're having Chris Odeh on the show? Why is it that we are talking about a book he has written as a filmmaker, but now we are focusing on a book? Your experiences with Ramsey Noor, we know that you've done a couple of movies with him, award-winning movies. Same thing with Charles of Play, as you guys have had a very lucrative and will I say groundbreaking.
Yeah,
and there's a bigger one about to announce in a few months.
With all the travel, one of the travel,
we're waiting for it.
So we are waiting for the day you guys invest and say, you know, Popcorn and Reels, you guys should come and experience what you
experience the journey.
What you guys are doing.
You never joined the cult yet.
Wow.
So we should join the six.
We should join the six. My mother is shouting.
My wife, you don't join cult. Who will be the sacrifice?
So talking about these experiences now. And your years of failures to success now. Will you say there is a part where you have played virtually every role on set? When I mean every role on set, you've been a producer for a very long while. You've also been an exec. You've executively produced.
You've directed.
I've DOP'd.
Yes,
I've edited.
You've edited.
I've done sound.
Yeah. So knowing that you have touched every part of the production line, let's say minus makeup, because I know sometimes you
need
minus makeup, maybe and costume.
Colleague, yes.
No, but you've also handled costume because
yes, with the costume, yes. Yeah. Even the neck and the pretty serpent. When I changed my costume with me away, I had to take over.
But
even
that was
in learning course.
Yes, because
when I changed that hair.
I just want to say that was not your first rodeo in chasing somebody on set.
I chased out.
Yeah, so that was where I was going to. Chasing people off set. Because I just saw that Jean-Claude Van Damme was actually on the set of Predator. Predator.
Yeah.
1987.
Yeah, he was actually the person in the Predator suit before he was fired on set.
Wahala.
Yeah. So talking about firing people off set, I've seen you fire two costumiers. What makes a producer take such a creative decision within a shoot? Also, I have seen you threatening to fire an actor on set.
So 12:30, I mean.
Yeah, minus 12:30. But
try again.
But
I know too much.
What will make a producer make such a... Because we've also had Dimbo, and we've asked Dimbo this question,
yes,
because there was one of his production that was put on hold because of the choices of an actor.
Actor, wow.
Changing his hairstyle during shoots. So what would make one make that decision, either as a producer or a director or being in the line of the production?
Very deep question. So first off is, there's a new slang I have now, and I say to people, don't make my business your hobby. You know, this is what I create wealth with. Don't come into my space. I can't come into Nigeria Info FM and start faffing around, shaking laptops and touching cables. This is someone's investment. So the best I can do is to... The reason if I walked in here, I had to peep through the window to be sure you guys were here if I came through the store. I was sitting at that. I was going to sit at that waiting room because that's the way it should be done. So you don't come into my business and bring your rashness, your razzness, your whatever...
Unprofessionalism.
...into my space, you know. And as much as we want to say we are creatives, it's show business. There's a creative element to this thing, and there's a business element to this thing. And in business, if you treat anything without value, it will not give you value. So as much as I want to focus on the people being fired, it is more on focusing on value and making sure people that treat value for value are rewarded, and people who don't bring value for value are reprimanded. Because while you do that, every other person in that space is realizing that, oh my God, I need to be... Have you seen those coaches in football, how they stand for the 90 minutes?
Yes.
Because it's not that they told them what to do. But when you kick the ball wrong, you turn and see coach, they para for where he stand, you go behave yourself. And that's what you just imagine if I came and... I just slapped everyone. What I'm saying is that, so it's real business. So I don't want to focus on the people being fired because... Just like everything, even like a child, people disown their children, people spank their children, people do a lot of things because madness is normal. But you have to now find how to adjust it because apart from the person who's doing that thing, that did that thing to Dimbo, changing the hairstyle, how he attends to that determines how subsequent actors. I've seen mad actors go to set and behave themselves. There's an actor in this industry who are here, just wakes up, says he wants to go and use the bathroom. When else you call him, he's in South Africa. He came on my set. We were together for more than 5 months. Papa no disappeared one day. So I was at the wedding yesterday. Someone was asking me, how were you able to hold him? I said, I didn't hold him. All I did was I arranged my bed well. If you enter my room and my bed is well spread, you wouldn't jump on it. Because before people misbehave, they see loopholes.
When they
see that you two, everything is free, you come late, you come, they will treat you the way you want to be treated. So when we do those things, is to make everyone know that, hey, put your head in check. That's one. And two, I think it takes a village to make a film, but nobody is indispensable. So every time I have my plan B in my hands, every time I have a plan B, even with actors that have continuity, they rewrite script. I even did that recently. I was shooting a film with some Gen Z people. Okay, no, I've exposed too much. And one person was just acting as if, you know, she knows me. How about I write the girl out of the story here? She got to say, when is my next? I say, oh, you don't have sin again. You are dead. Rest. And she got to call her mama. They come, they say, ah, my daughter said, I say, let her rest. She's not feeling too fine. Let her take care of herself. We'll write them out. The places where she's supposed to walk up past, we do body double. We wrote her out. You want to be a star, right? You need to do what stars need to do. But I learned it from when I did 12:30, when my guy went to change his hair, also in 12:30. He does become star 2 weeks. Go relax hair, come back.
Hope he's not the same person.
No. This guy that did this to me, there's no more in the industry because that character can't even keep you. So I learned from that one. I got angry. I fired that one, told them to throw him out of the place. Later, I brought him back. He was crying. I said, okay, let's do it. You know, but now, as I'm working with you, I'm looking at your character day one, day two, day three. I'm trying to look for how to rearrange my story in case you mess up. People die during films. Now.
Yes.
See, what's his name? This guy from Fast and Furious.
Paul Walker.
This guy from Black Panther. People
die. We also had this guy in Dimbo set, one of the characters in...
Yes, even Auntie Rachel Roniga. She died during Niger Christmas, one of those films. They had to finish the film. So, and let's don't talk about the unseen people. Unseen people can be covered up. That's why you have. So what I say to people is like, get a full treatment, get your full documentation. How do you want to approach this makeup? How do you want to approach this costume? How do you want to approach this account? So that when the person leaves, the manual which you paid for, you can call someone and say, can you run this thing for me? Just run it. Because you can't put all your eggs in one basket. People will mess you up. But before I say all of this, let me also say that it takes two. You have to also make sure you respect people.
Yes.
Their money, their time, their person. Don't trample on people because you are the boss. So before you also do those things, internalize and ask yourself, what's the best way to approach this thing? It's people, fame is management. People management, money management, time management, resources management. You need to manage all of those things together. And if you're not ready to do that, they're not ready to be a businessman. How do these people that handle, how do you think Olamide feels about Asake? Asake is taking all the shine, but he is the king right behind. If he doesn't know how to handle Asake, Asake will outgrow him. If Aldo Bakori didn't know how to handle MI, MI would have outgrown Chocolate City. So you need to understand that these people also want to shine. I have to be able to sit in your corner and allow them shine, be a kingmaker. No, don't trample on them and make them feel like they are nothing because they will look for a way to hit back at you with your product. I hope I've said enough.
No, you said quite well, not enough, but you don't talk. So based on this talking now, if somebody is hearing this now, they'll be like, okay, we've heard the name Chris Odeh from the likes of Rattlesnake. We've heard
Living in Bondage,
Naked the Pretty Serpent. They'll talk about your recent works. But for posterity, it's good to state this and for people to know. Because when someone puts out a body of work, not just a movie now, this is a book. And they say book normally outlive authors.
Exactly.
Even sometimes longer than films.
Yeah.
How long have you been in the business of filmmaking?
So, you know, you get into the business in your mind and you get to the business physically. So I started my journey as a storyteller and a filmmaker in 2006, but I was fortunate to start professionally in 2008. So I've been in for 15 years now. 16 years. Wow. 16 years.
Wow. That's more picking now. They'll say, this one's over.
Don't they look invested now? You know, so yes, but I started my film company in 2011. So that was 13 years ago. So I did a bit of TV with Mo, I did a bit of TV with Sabari and Cody, and I moved into film in 2009, then I started my film company, Sozo Films, in 2011.
It's funny that when you talk about your journey in film and television, you don't mention documentaries or producing other things that are not movies.
Yeah, I'll be honest, my passion is to be a filmmaker. That's my passion. So, but you know, you need to make ends meet. So most times I do documentaries because I want to make ends meet. The way documentaries are told in Nigeria, you either have to suffer so much to get funding to do those regular ones you want to tell your story with, or you have to go and get the ones that these NGOs and these political people will give you money to do. So most times we do documentaries to keep the fuel running, to keep the system running. Mm. But honestly, when it comes to passion and what exactly I'm about, it's film first, not even TV. Mm. Film.
It's film first, it's not film even first. TV. Okay, let's just take this message. Actually, we are running out of time.
Where can we find this book and how affordable is it for somebody who just wants to grab your copy now?
So I'd kept it for a month for people to pre-order at a cheaper rate of 10,000 naira, and a couple of people ordered it. In fact, all the ones we printed are done. We're trying to get new ones now, to print new ones. And now it's 15K or $15, 15,000 naira or $15. And it's available on chrisodeh.com.
All right, now that one, now don't enter marketing. Before you know now, they say Bluetooth, yeah, you will pay for this part that
okay,
Mr.
Sorry.
Chris just talk.
Forget what I just told you.
Scratch that. But they will follow you on social media. How can people check you out? Because a lot of people have been asking us questions to ask you, but when they know your handle at least, they can
at
ask
Chris
you.
Odeh. At Chris Odeh. So even on my handle, you get the links and all of that you need to do. That.
Okay, so thank you very, very much, Mr. Chris. This is very short, but guys, this episode will be live on YouTube and you can watch it and you can get the full sneak peek and see what the book looks like.
So I was going to say something. I was going to say that for them to have an idea of what the book is about, they can also look at the podcast we have on YouTube and on my page so they can see what the book is about, so they can understand if it's something they want to delve into. So we've discussed the book in our podcast.
Okay. So guys, this actually brings us to the end of the show today, and it's really been fun and excitement all the way. We'll catch you guys in another episode next Sunday, and by then maybe we will have somebody else that you people will ask questions. Oh God, finish them. But from me to you and from Focus, who we are going to fight outside, how we say the solo leveling. Oh God, my God. We will discuss this matter later because, hey.
Have a lovely night. Now that's entertainment.